RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voy Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia welcomes Iran nuclear program agreement. Transjakarta start operating Kenya buses today. Energy Minister expect LPG basis ahead of Idul Fitri. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government welcomes the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, that was reached between Iran and P5+1 member state, the USA, Britain, France, Russia, China, and Germany, in Vienna on Tuesday. In the agreement, Iran will develop its nuclear program solely for peaceful purposes, in return for the lifting of economic and financial sanctions towards Iran. The agreement ended the negotiation deadlock in Iran's nuclear program for 12 years since 2003. It also reasserted the right of every country to utilize nuclear energy for peaceful, as to say for peaceful purposes, as guaranteed in the NPT Treaty. The agreement is another proof of the effectiveness of solving problems through peaceful means, which is in line with the Indonesian's position on emphasizing diplomacy and dialogue in setting Iran's nuclear program problem. Indonesia called for all parties to use constructive approach in implementing the agreement. The global oil price, which is experienced an increase when the negotiation was extended, also reacts positively to nuclear agreement. However, Israel rejects the agreement. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu intends to lobby the U.S. Congress not to pass the agreement. PT Transportasi Jakarta will start operating Scania buses today. PT Transjakarta CEO Antonis Kosai said from the 20 buses that have arrived, only 5 buses will be operating. Antonis said on Tuesday that this articulated buses are used to carry Transjakarta passengers in Corridor 1 Blok M Kota and Corridor 9 Pluit Pinang Ranti. The two corridors are selected due to the passenger density in those corridors. The Sweden-made bus has the capacity of 120 people, just like other Transjakarta buses. These buses also have a special ladies area. Kosasi said this area is more ladies-friendly as the pole grips are easily accessible by women. One Scania bus is purchased by the provincial government of Jakarta for 4 billion rupiah. Initially, the government only intended to buy 20 buses, but because of the discounts given for a minimum purchase of 50 buses, the government decided to buy 51 buses. Until today, 20 buses have arrived in Jakarta. Kosasi targets the old buses order could arrive in Jakarta at the end of 2015. This has saved the government budget of 10 billion rupiah. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said conducted an impromptu inspection to a number of LPG bases in Jakarta and Bekasi on Wednesday, July 15. The inspection carried out to review the readiness of Energy and Mineral Resource Minister sector ahead of Idul Fitri. Sudirman said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the ministry monitored directly from the ground, starting from retailers, agents until SPBG, LPG bases which were inspected located in Rambutan Regency, Ciracas Regency, and Pondok Gede, Bekasi. Minister Sudirman requested that distributors supply more than 3 kg LPG tube in order to meet the needs of the household before and after Idul Fitri. LPG distributor PT Karisma Purnawira Nugraha Ciracas Regency Anjas Prawira said that 3 kg LPG tubes in his region was not experiencing the shortages. Although many residents who had returned home, he admitted still expand the supply of LPG to the needs of the people. Not only 3 kg LPG tubes, Anjas claimed 12 kg LPG tubes were free from scarcity. Thus, the supply of LPG to the restaurants could be fulfilled. Bank Indonesian Board of Governors decided on July 14, 2015 to hold Bank Indonesian rate at 7.5%, while maintaining the deposit facility rate at 5.5% and lending facility rate at 8%. Bank Indonesian spokesperson Tirta Segara stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that he pointed out that despite widespread global uncertainty, Bank Indonesian policy mix is consistently focused on maintaining macroeconomic stability and preserving growth by implementing an accommodative macroprudential policy. Furthermore, Bank Indonesia continues to strengthen policy coordination with the government in order to control inflation and to expedite the fiscal stimuli in a bid to boost economic growth. Bank Indonesia says that the global growth remained towards the lower end of the previous projection amid ubiquitous uncertainty plaguing the global financial markets. Weaker-than-expected growth stemmed from economic moderation in China coupled with the flagging U.S. economic indicators. In addition, central and local government spending also remained low, precipitating limited investment growth in line with the delayed infrastructure realization and with investment in machinery and transportation equipment. Externally, limited export growth was projected due to an inauspicious global economy and persistently low international commodity prices. Thousands of travelers heading to their hometowns in Sumatra for Idul Fitri or Lebaran from Java by crossing Sunda Strait are expected to throng Merak Ferry Port on Tuesday night. Mario Sardari Otomo, a spokesman for the England Waterway Transport and Safety for Merak, said in Merak on Tuesday that passengers, both pedestrian and motorists, had begun to flock the Merak Ferry Port in the western tip of Java to reach Bukahumi Ferry Port in Lampung in the eastern tip of Sumatra. Lebaran travelers traditional coach Pemudit had been arriving at the port since 6 p.m. since Tuesday. Although the number of travelers pouring in has been rising, traffic has been flowing smoothly. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Drought has arrived in the agriculture land in Tasikmalaya, West Java. Local farmers tricked this recurring disaster by making water wheels out of bamboo in Cidandui River. The water hill functions to drive water from Cidandui to the withering farms. According to Angus, there are two units of water wheels which had been made by the farmers. Last year, farmers made 7 units of large water wheel. Angus wishes that the government would help the farmers by supplying the houses to deliver the water. So far, they have used bamboo logs instead of houses, and water often leak out. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has met the Vice President of the European Commission and European Commissioner for Regulatory Affairs, Intergovernmental Relations, Rule of Law and Charter of Fundamental Rights, Frans Timmermans. The purpose of the meeting was to discuss the Schengen visa exemption issue for Indonesian citizens who had public passport. Minister Retno to media in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the Schengen member countries need to take some steps for the visa exemption as a reciprocal step for visa-free policy of tourists to most of Schengen members countries through President's Regulation Number
69/2015.
I met the first Vice President of the European Commission, Frans Timmermans. Besides talking about the bilateral relations, we were also talking on the Indonesian request, Indonesian reports for Indonesian citizens to get a Schengen visa. We deliver some of the facts. Indonesia, for example, is the first country which has cooperation partnership agreement with European Union. Then Indonesia was also the first country in Southeast Asia which has agreements or partnership with European Union in the forestry field.
Memiliki kerjasama di bidang kehutanan.
Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that Indonesian citizens are foreign citizens who most visit European countries, and Indonesia was a country with a low-level visa application rejection at only 1.1% in 2014, and the number violation of European Union immigration regulation by Indonesian citizens was minimal. Meanwhile, Frans Timmermans well noted the Indonesian request and will more explore the Schengen visa issue. The last item, the Central Statistics Agency BPS recorded that the total trade balance of Indonesia in the first semester of 2015, which was from January up to June 2015, was surplus of $4.35 billion. Head of the agency, Suryamin, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the surplus was derived from exports which were greater than export, as you said, than imports during the period. The cumulative trade balance during January to June 2015 was surplus of $4.35 billion. Totally, the export was worth $78.29 billion and import $73.93 billion. Suryamin added in the first semester of 2015, the United States food as the largest importer from Indonesia, which amounted to $7.83 billion. Indonesian main commodities exported to the United States were apparel, footwear, nuclear reactors, and others. He added, the other two largest importer countries from Indonesia are Japan and China. Indonesian trade balance surplus was not only in the semester period. The BPS recorded in June the trade balance was also surplus worth $477 million. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Greece Gets the Third Phase Assistance. Listener, an important agreement between the European creditors with Greece was finally reached on Monday morning, July 13 local time, after marathon talks between Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras and the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President François Hollande, and the President of the European Union Council Donald Tusk in Brussels, Belgium. The left-wing Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras agreed to undertake the difficult reforms after 17 hours of grueling negotiations, with the outcome in the form of a three-year bailout worth €86 billion, which is the third Greek rescue program in the last 5 years. In return for the third phase bailout deal, the government in Athens must agree on comprehensive reform programs and more stringent austerity to healthy financial system. Prime Minister of Greece Alexis Tsipras must perform a dramatic reform in his market sector, the banking system, pension funds and privatization. All requirements from the European creditors were to be agreed by Parliament in Athens at the latest on Wednesday, July 15. Without the emergency aid from European donors, the financial system and the Greek economy will certainly collapse. Tsipras finally also agreed to the terms on Greek asset sales to repay the debt. However, it is not known what assets will be sold. So far, Greece has owed about €320 billion to the European donors. It is estimated the most severe requirements run by Tsipras is to accept the German insistence on privatization of €50 billion Greek assets to repay the debt. Experts from the European Union and the IMF evaluate the Greek assets that are currently allocated for €7 billion privatization. Last week, Athens also declared default for its inability to pay its debt installment, which is due to the International Monetary Fund. Similarly, Athens last week has angered its creditors with a number of measures, including a surprise referendum on July the 5th. The referendum results showed that the people of Greece reject bailout terms previously offered by the creditors. Now, Tsipras, the prime minister, is likely to face the wrath of the Greek people for agreeing all the requirements presented by the creditors. In Asia, stock exchanges surged on Monday, July 13, after Greece and its European creditors agreed on a bailout agreement which substantially reduces the uncertainty regarding the future of Greece in the euro currency. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 1.6%, while South Korea's Kospi rose 1.5%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 1.1%. The Shanghai Composite Index also rose 2.4%. Other stock markets also rose, including in Taiwan, Singapore, Thailand, and Indonesia. The increase of Asian stock markets shows that what happens in Europe is also influential to other parts of the world, the world has become so closely connected, then the regional stability will determine the world's stability. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from July 15, 1916, the establishment of Boeing Aircraft Company. In March 1910, William E. Boeing bought Health Shipyard in Seattle on the Duwamish River, which later became his first airplane factory. Boeing was incorporated in Seattle by William Boeing on July 15, 1916 as Pacific Aero Products Company. Boeing was later incorporated in Delaware. The original certificate of incorporation was filed with the Secretary of State of Delaware on July 19, 1934. Boeing, who studied at Yale University, worked initially in the timber industry, where he became wealthy and learned about wooden structures. This knowledge proved invaluable in his subsequent design and assembly of airplanes. William Boeing founded his company a few months after the June 15th maiden flight of one of the two B&W seaplanes built with the assistance of George Conrad Westerfeld, a U.S. Navy engineer. Boeing soon crashed the breakage, and when Martin informed Boeing that replacement part would not become available for months, Boeing realized he would build his own plane in that amount of time. He and his friend, G.C. Westerfeld, agreed to build a better airplane and soon produced the B-W seaplane. The first Boeing airplane was assembled in a lakeside hangar located on the northeast shore of Seattle's Lake Union. On July 15, 1946, the Netherlands ruling the power in eastern Indonesia. The Netherlands ruling on July 15, 1946 over the eastern Indonesia region after Australian troops handed over the power. Soon after the handover, the Netherlands, led by Governor General Van Mook, who held Malino Conference on July 15 to July 25, 1946 in Malino, South Sulawesi. The conference was attended by 39 people from 15 regions from Kalimantan and the Great East with the aim to discuss the plan of establishment of federal states in Indonesia, as well as the plan to form countries covering the regions in eastern Indonesia. The conference decided that the Indonesian state should be a federal state. However, it should be formed through a period of transition. During the transition period, the sovereignty remains in the hands of the Netherlands, although the federal state has gained its independence. We conclude with a historical event on July 15, 1968. Indonesian government issues a policy on health maintenance for civil servants. On July 15, 1968, the Indonesian government issued a policy that clearly regulates health maintenance for civil servants, PNS, pension recipients of civil servants and TNI or police, veterans, independence pioneers and their family members, and other business entities, based on Presidential Decree No. 230 of 1968. Minister of Health established a specialized agency within the Ministry of Health, namely Organizing Body of Health Care Fund, in which the Minister of Health at that time, Professor Dr. Siwa Besi, expressed as the forerunner of the Health Care and Social Security Agency, BPJS. Starting on January 1, 2014, PT Askes Indonesia Persero changed its name into the Health Care and Social Security Agency, BPJS, in accordance with Law No. 24 of 2011 on BPJS. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Voice Green. Today's edition features Indonesia prepares emission reduction contribution plan. The consistency in the implementation of the Greenhouse Reduction National Action Plan can be the basic asset for Indonesia in preparing the intended nationally determined contributions, or INDC, plan for the Climate Summit in Paris next December. Expert staff of Environment and Forestry Ministry Arief Yuwono, escorted by Antara in Jakarta, recently said that the consultation of INDC making is ongoing, involving National Development Planning Minister and National Development Planning Board (BAPENAS), Ministry of Environment and Forestry, and several other ministries. Arief further said that the government will connect the INDC with a commitment that will be obligatory, thus it must be arranged carefully. According to Arief, strategy and the emission reduction program must be able to encourage the economic development and preserving the environment at the same time. He said that the government is yet to decide the target sectors to reduce the greenhouse gas emission. Arief added that Indonesia is still considering about the economic development and will not set aside the national interests despite of the oncoming multilateral agreement. Arief also explained that Indonesia will continue the national action plan on reducing greenhouse emission. According to him, the encouragement of the action plan in the regions has been strong enough by taking the Government Regulations No. 61/2011. The framework of planning, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation to fulfill Indonesia's commitment on reducing greenhouse emission up to 26% voluntarily and 41% with foreign support in 2020 has been listed in the action plan. According to Arief, Indonesia needs not to worry the 21st meeting of the parties in Paris. Indonesia only needs to keep its consistency in implementing the emission reduction plan because Indonesia's initiative is not less than other countries. Meanwhile, the National Executive Director of Indonesian Forum for the Environment, WALHI, Abednego Tarigan, said that Indonesian government must ensure the people involvement in the national making process of the intended nationally determined contributions, INDC. That's because the content of the contribution plan to be conveyed by Indonesia in the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change 2015 will affect the development and the Indonesian people. Abednego added, the public consultation is one of important spaces to ensure that people know and play a role in the creation process of intended nationally determined contributions. Besides, it is substantial to integrate the principles of climate justice that have become the demand for the people on the management of climate change, its impact, and the types of support to be provided or demanded to overcome the climate change. Listener, that was Voy Green from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Wednesday, July 15, 2015. We start with the headline from Kompas. The Daily writes about airworthiness of transportation mode bring about problems. Owners and users of services should ensure the airworthiness of motor vehicles, including the mode of transportation that are used when going home. Management of airworthiness of public transportation is still an issue of public service, in addition to the driver's competence. This is related to the bus accident in Palimanan Kanchi Toll Road, kilometer 202, at Kepompong Village, Tahun Subdistrict, Cirebon, West Java, on Tuesday. The accident resulted 12 people died, 6 people were seriously injured, and 33 slightly injured. while Koran Sindo in its headline writes about Ocheh Kaligis in jail. Alleged bribery case, which involving judges of the State Administrative Court, PTU and Medan, North Sumatra, dragging senior lawyer Otto Cornelis Kaligis, or better known, Ocheh Kaligis. On Tuesday night, the lawyer, who is also as Chief Justice of the Nasdem Party, are arrested after undergoing about 5 hours. Ocheh Kaligis is detained in the detention center in East Jakarta of the Corruption Eradication Commission chapter in Pomdam Jaya, Guntur, for the first 20 days. Business Indonesia in its headline writes about Pantura left behind by home travelers. Road infrastructure that has been prepared by the government by operating the Cikopo-Palimanan toll road hopes to be able reducing significantly the density of traffic on the Lebaran holiday season in 2015, especially in the path of the north coast of Java Pantura. The traffic flow of D-3 Lebaran along the road from Jakarta to the number of cities in Central Java and East Java through the north coast of Java was relatively smooth. In fact, overall, the flow of traffic on track is much quieter than the same situation a few years ago. Listener, that was headline.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Indonesian government welcomes the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, that was reached between Iran and P5 plus one member state, USA, Britain, France, Russia, China, and Germany in Vienna on Tuesday. PT Transportasi Jakarta will start operating Scania buses today. The Transjakarta CEO, Antonius Kosasi, said from the 20 buses that have arrived, only 5 buses will be operating. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said conducted a branch inspection to a number of LPG bases in Jakarta and Bekasi on Wednesday. The inspection carried out to review the readings of Energy and Mineral Resource Ministry sector ahead of Idul Fitri. Bank Indonesia and Board of Governors decided on July 14, 2015 to hold the Bank Indonesia rate at 7.5% while maintaining the deposit facility rate at 5.5% and lending facility rate at 8%. Thousands of travelers heading to their hometowns in Sumatra from Idul Fitri or Lebaran from Java by crossing Sunda Strait are expected to turn Merak Ferry port on Tuesday night. Drought has arrived in agricultural land in Tasikmalaya, West Java. Local farmers treat the recurring disaster by making water wheels out of bamboo in Cintadui River. The water wheel functions to drive water from Cintadui to the withering farms. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has met the Vice President of European Commission and European Commissioner of Regulatory Affairs, Intergovernmental Relations, Rule of Law and the Charter of Fundamental Rights, Frans Timmermans. The proposal at the meeting was to discuss the Schengen visa exemption issue for Indonesian citizens who had public passport. The Central Statistics Agency BPS recorded that the total trade balance of Indonesia in the first semester of 2015, which was from January up to June 2015, were surplus $4.35 billion. Head of the agency, Syuramin, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the surplus was derived from exports, which were greater than imports during the period. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia.
Hey!
Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a little segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I'd like to introduce you to Petekan tradition, so stay tuned. Listeners, sex is sacred for Tengger Ngadas Village, Ponco Kusumo Sub-District, Malang Regency, East Java Province. Tengger people believe that a natural disaster or a disease epidemic will come if they do not protect the sacred sex. Because of that, to avoid a disaster or epidemic, they protect the sacred sex by maintaining a unique tradition named Petekan. Following this tradition, information about the Tengger woman who has an unwed pregnancy will be known immediately among the villagers. This tradition is still well preserved by the Tengger community. According to the literature, this tradition has existed since 1772, since the Ngadas village was established. In Ngadas village, which is on the west Tengger hillside, live around 1,800 residents of the Tengger tribe. They live at two hamlets, namely Ngadas and Jarak Ijo. They hold the Petekan ceremony once at 3 months. Petekan comes from a word dipetek, which is in Javanese language, being pressed. In the ceremony, a midwife presses and touches the woman's belly. In the medical world, it is called the palpation technique, which is usually done by midwives to detect the presence of the fetus in the abdomen. The traditional midwife is able to detect whether the woman is pregnant or not. Even she can even detect whether the woman is still virgin or not. The traditional midwife who upholds the Petekan tradition can detect the certainty of the pregnancy at the age of 1.5 to 2 months. If from the test, there is a woman who is pregnant outside of marriage, traditional law will prevail. If the pregnant woman is still unmarried, she will look for the man who impregnated the woman. If this man is unmarried or does not have family, the man and the woman will be fined 50 bags of cement respectively to go to the village. This law is valid for poor and rich families. After that, they will be married in a traditional religious ceremony. More severe sanctions will be imposed to a woman who is pregnant outside marriage with a married man. If this happens, the man will be fined 100 bags of cement, while the woman will be fined 50 bags of cement. Then this couple will be humiliated. They must sweep the road of the village until clean. Not only that, this woman and her family will be isolated by the villagers. This couple will be married only traditionally, not in a religious way. And this marriage only lasts until the woman gives birth. After that, the man must divorce her. Listeners, the Petekan ceremony is led by Pak Legen in Tengger community, a traditional shaman who is assigned to perform marriages of the Tengger people. Related to the death, where is Wong Sepu? Besides Pak Legen, there is also a traditional midwife who is involved in the Petekan ceremony. Usually, Wong Sepu will announce if there is to be a Petekan traditional in ceremony. Then, Wong Sepu will inform Pak Legen and traditional midwife. The Petekan ceremony is held in near Pak Legen's house at night, starting from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. local time. The participants are unmarried adult women or widows who are still of childbearing age. The participants are not only Ngada's residents but also those who live outside the village. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring the Petekan tradition among the Tengger tribe, Malang Regency from East Java. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. So, thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Mengunjungi Teman, or Visiting a Friend. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and also expressions that relate to our today's topic. I will say them to time slowly and you can repeat after me. Mengunjungi, mengunjungi, which means to visit. Teman, teman, which means friend. Ide, ide, which means idea. Bagaimana kalau, bagaimana kalau, which means how about. Hari raya lebaran, hari raya lebaran, which means Lebaran or Idul Fitri festivity. Ide yang bagus. Ide yang bagus, which means good idea. Setuju. Setuju, which means agree. Berkumpul. Berkumpul, which means together. Stasiun. Stasiun, which means station. Beritahu. beritahu, which means to tell. Teman-teman, teman-teman, which means friends. Rencana ini, which means this plan. Sampai ketemu, which means see you. Selamat Lebaran, which means happy Lebaran. Now we give you an example of a conversation entitled Mengunjungi Teman or Visiting a Friend between Tia or A and Dina or B. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Dina, aku ada ide. Dina, aku ada ide. Which means, Dina, I have an idea. Bagaimana kalau hari raya Lebaran, kita bersama teman-teman mengunjungi Santi di Bogor? Bagaimana kalau hari raya Lebaran, kita bersama teman-teman mengunjungi Santi di Bogor? Which means, how if we and other friends visit Santi in Bogor on Idul Fitri Day? B. Wah, ide yang bagus. Wah, ide yang bagus. Which means, that's a good idea. Aku setuju. Aku setuju. Which means, I agree. A. Kita berkumpul di mana? Kita berkumpul di mana? Which means, where will we meet? B. Kita berkumpul di stasiun Manggarai. Kita berkumpul di stasiun Manggarai. Which means, we meet at Manggarai Railway Station. Lalu, naik kereta api menuju Bogor. Lalu, naik kereta api menuju Bogor. Which means, then we get on a train to Bogor. A. Baiklah, aku beritahu teman-teman agar mereka bisa ikut. Baiklah, aku beritahu teman-teman agar mereka bisa ikut. Which means, alright, I will tell other friends so that they can go with us. B. Ya, tolong kamu sampaikan rencana ini ke teman-teman kita. Ya, tolong kamu sampaikan rencana ini ke teman-teman kita. Which means, yes, please tell about our plan to them. A. Baiklah, sampai ketemu. Baiklah, sampai ketemu. Which means, okay, see you. Selamat Lebaran. Selamat Lebaran. Which means, happy Lebaran. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And we, on behalf of management and staff of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, would like to say Happy Eid to all Muslims around the world. Sampai jumpa.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2.
Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. We meet again with Music Corner, a segment that introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today, we introduce a band from Jakarta, namely Joker Band. Before we tell the detail about the Joker Band, let's listen to Cinta Selamanya.
Bersinar bercahaya, dan ketika ku cari arti cinta yang ada, hanyalah kehampaan. Sedalam mana cintamu padaku, coba kau buktikan kasih, hingga aku hanyut dalam buaimu. Haruskah ku terima kenyataan, rasa tak sanggup ku melihat. Mas
tak terpisah selamanya.
The band, which is completed by Irawan the vocalist, Dian drummer, and P guitarist, released the first album in 2006 entitled Cahaya Cinta. Then 4 years later, their second album in 2010 entitled Cinta Sebenarnya brought free pop music genre including pop melee, rock, and pop rock. In a 4 years period, Joker Band has changed its personal and music. Listener, let's listen to the second song from Joker Band entitled Cinta Tak Harus Memiliki.
Cinta darimu, karena kau tak meluahkan hati, kejujuranmu pun tak berarti. Apakah dirimu selalu menyadari? Akankah cintamu mampu untuk berlari? Oh, tak seharusnya aku dengan hanya menambah beban luka di hatiku. Apakah dirimu selalu menyadari? Akankah cintamu mampu untuk berlari? Haruskah ku mati terbunuh rasa cintamu yang tak mungkin ku temui hingga di akhir hidup? Meskipun ku sadari tak harus memiliki, dan ku simpan semua ini jadi cinta abadi.
One of personnel of Joker Band said that the hit single entitled Terjebak Rayuan Gombal consisted of musics that represent characters of each personal from three different musical genres. They present their own characteristic. Irawan with his Malaysian characteristic music, Vidi with pop rock, and Pai with rock music style, so that the three different characters are blended into one music work. Joker Band hoped by changing their music style, it could be accepted by music lovers in the country. Dear listener, before we conclude today's music corner, let's listen to two songs from Joker Band entitled Terjebak Rayuan Gombal and Cinta Tak Punya Mata. Enjoy the song and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.